You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, we look back at some of the stories of women who helped shape Wisconsin history for Women's History Month.
Right now, it's time for our weekly check-in on national politics. This week, the Congressional Budget Office released its analysis of the GOP's newest health plan. Its findings have some people worried.
The Department of Justice announced it will charge Russian spies and hackers over a massive data breach that targeted Yahoo users. And MSNBC's Rachel Maddow promised a big reveal of President Trump's leaked tax documents. But questions are being raised about what was in the documents and who leaked them.
Scott Wong is with us now to break down the news. He's a senior writer for The Hill, where he covers House Republicans and Speaker Paul Ryan. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Scott, let's talk about those House Republicans and Speaker Paul Ryan. This health care bill, big deal, a main agenda item early for Republicans in Congress, the replacement for the Affordable Care Act. This Congressional Budget Office report out says 24 million people losing insurance coverage over a decade. What are you seeing in the reaction from Republicans in the House?
Well, this adds a big complication for the speaker and for the leadership team and those trying to whip votes right now. What we're seeing is some reaction from moderate or more centrist Republicans who are turned off by these numbers. People like Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, who is a reliable Republican ally of the speaker's, just yesterday saying that she could not support this bill given some of the numbers of that are coming out of this CBO report. As you mentioned, 14 million uninsured by 2018, and that number would grow to 24 million additional people uninsured by 2026. So those are tough headlines for a number of Republicans around the country to swallow, particularly if they represent congressional districts where there are large numbers of constituents on Medicaid and Obamacare.
And then in the politics of this, if the speaker and other people involved in crafting this legislation adjust the plan to meet the needs of those more moderate Republicans, they are risking the Freedom Caucus, the more conservative Republicans in the House. Is that right?
Well, that's right. Speaker Ryan, in working with the White House, Donald Trump's White House, is trying to find the sort of sweet spot, if you will, of what bill can attract the most number of Republicans. Remember, Democrats have said they will not lift a finger to help Republicans pass repeal and replacement of Obamacare. So this is falling solely on Republicans to get this through the House and the Senate. And so Ryan is trying to thread the needle a little bit, finding the right balance, if you will, between what can attract the most number of Republicans in his conference. He can only really lose about 20 of his own members before opponents can kill off this bill. So it's quite a feat.
Even if he does get it through the House, there's the Senate. What are we hearing from Senate Republicans on this?
I think the sentiment in Capitol Hill right now is that the Senate is going to be a much harder lift for proponents of this bill. You've already heard a number of Republicans across the spectrum of the Republican Party, from moderates to more conservatives like Bill Cassidy of Louisiana, who are saying they just don't think this is a bill that can pass their chamber. They're nitpicking certain things. Everyone has their own issues with the bill. So you're correct. Even if this gets through the House and Donald Trump and Speaker Ryan are able to muscle it through that lower chamber, I think the bigger challenge lies in the upper chamber with the Senate.
And while this bill is being portrayed, including by Speaker Ryan, as a White House Congress collaboration here, we've seen some Donald Trump allies turning against Paul Ryan again. Breitbart, the old stomping grounds of Steve Bannon, chief strategist now at the White House. Breitbart released audio from a conference call about a month before the election this year, released it this week in the conversation. House Speaker Ryan tells fellow members of the GOP where he stands on then nominee Trump. This is after, I think, the Access Hollywood tapes came out. Here's a listen.
I am not going to defend Donald Trump. Not now, not in the future. As you probably heard, I just invited him from my first congressional district GOP event this weekend, a thing I do every year, and I'm not going to be campaigning with him over the next 30 days. Look, you guys know I have real concerns with our nominee. I hope you appreciate that I think is best for you or the members, not what's best for me.
And I think all of that information we knew back at the time, Scott, but this is the first time we're actually hearing him saying it. What's the significance of this conservative, pro-Trump during the campaign website releasing this?
That's right. We did largely know the message that Ryan was sending to his rank-and-file members on this conference call just a few weeks before the election. What's new, of course, is the actual audio tape and the fact that it has resurfaced right in the middle of this huge fight over the GOP health care repeal and replacement bill. So, you know, a lot of people, when they step back in Washington, are saying, you know, this was obviously strategically released. The timing of this is significant. It creates an added distraction or complication for Speaker Ryan as he's trying to push this bill to the finish line. And it's also reminding Donald Trump in the White House that at a very critical moment of the campaign, Ryan was not with Donald Trump. And so you could argue that it bolsters conservatives, that it weakens Ryan during a critical negotiation point on health care.
Talking about the top news in national politics with Scott Wong from The Hill. Moving on to some other issues in the news, the Department of Justice charged Russia with hacking, not related to the elections, though. That huge Yahoo data breach a couple years back. They're saying Russian officials were part of this, Russian freelance hackers apparently hired by them. What are you seeing in these charges?
Well, that's right. It's hard to keep all of these different Russian stories straight in your head, but this particular story involves the Justice Department reporting today that it's charging two Russian spies and a pair of hackers in the theft of 500 million Yahoo user accounts. This was back in 2014. I believe it was the largest sort of cyber breach in history at the time. You know, what's significant, I think, is that this is one of the first major actions of Donald Trump's Justice Department. I know that this investigation had been in the works for a number of years, but you know, there has been this perception out there that members of the Trump campaign and his White House have been too cozy with Moscow, including the Russian ambassador to the United States meeting with many of these folks. The Attorney General himself, Jeff Sessions, had to recuse himself from a Russian hacking investigation because of a past meeting he had with this Russian ambassador. So I think this action could be seen as an attempt by the Trump administration to sort of distance itself from the Russian government and from Vladimir Putin, given all of these questions swirling about the connection and ties between Trump and Moscow.
Staying with the Department of Justice for a moment, that department asking for more time to come up with evidence, information about President Trump's claims on Twitter that Trump Tower was wiretapped under President Obama's order. What is the latest there? Congress, members of Congress, congressional committees have been asking for information.
Yeah, we saw a slight development today. The chairman and top Democrat of the House Intelligence Committee speaking with reporters today, they announced that they have seen no evidence to date that the Obama administration was spying on Trump Tower during the campaign. Devin Nunes, the chairman, said he flat out doesn't believe such a thing happened. And so, you know, all eyes are going to be on James Comey on Monday, the FBI director, who will be appearing before this committee. He will testify before the House Intel Committee, and he certainly will get specific questions about whether or not the FBI requested and obtained a warrant to wiretap the Trump Tower, as Donald Trump is alleging. So it's pretty significant development in that Devin Nunes, who is closely aligned with Trump in the White House, he served on the transition team, coming out today saying that he does not believe that the Obama administration wiretapped Trump Tower.
And then Trump tax returns. People have been wondering if we'll ever see information about Donald Trump's taxes over the last bunch of years. Didn't release them during the campaign, citing an ongoing audit. Rachel Maddow of MSNBC previewed that she had some kind of tax information. A lot of people saw it as underwhelming. 2 pages of taxes from 2005. What, if anything, did we learn in these tax returns?
Well, it's we learned a couple things. We learned that Trump paid about $38 million of taxes back in 2005 on $150 million of income. And I think that what that tells most people is that he, number one, pays his taxes, which had been a big question, and number two, that he's a pretty successful businessman. I mean, by all measures, that is that suggests he's pretty successful. Of course, now the big mystery is who actually leaked these documents to this particular reporter, whether these were sort of rogue IRS officials, holdovers from the Obama administration, or, as the reporter has speculated himself, was it Donald Trump himself who may have leaked these documents to a reporter in order to, you know, gain some favorable coverage, showing that he pays his taxes and that he's very successful.
A lot of information out there, even for that 2005 filing, much less all the other years. What do you make of the sort of the media take on this? Rachel Maddow promoting it as a big deal, and then people compared it to the, you know, Geraldo Rivera going to Al Capone's vault. Really not a lot there.
Well, I think what it shows is that we still don't have a complete picture. Remember, this is just 1 year. This is more than 10 years ago. This is back in 2005. There are only, it's an incomplete picture, I think, of his total, you know, financial reports. In the past, we have seen a much more rigorous reporting of tax reports and other financial documents from our presidential candidates, let alone the President of the United States. So I think I think it's a first glimpse, and I think it raises a bunch more questions about, you know, what else is out there and whether we'll be able to see them at some point.
We'll leave it there, Scott. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Okay, thank you.
That's Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, where he covers House Republicans and Speaker Paul Ryan. He joined us for our weekly roundup of national political news.